Holy Spirit speak to us as a church, speak to each of us personally, so that we might see before us you, Jesus, and we might press on towards you to become fully complete in you. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you have your Bibles, would you open to Colossians chapter 1? Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is laying out for us kind of his intentionality as someone who had encountered Jesus, had his life changed through experiencing Jesus, and was called by God to share this message with other people. Colossians 1, verses 28 and 29. We proclaim him, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man mature in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. This is almost like a job description of the Apostle Paul. It's like this was his purpose, this was his ambition, this was his calling as a servant of Jesus. And he says that what he brought his energies around, what he labored in according to God's energy within him, what he was trying to accomplish through all of his preaching and teaching and everything that he actually did in serving Jesus, what he was shooting for was to see people become mature in Christ. Now, depending on your Bible translation, that might read, become complete in Christ. Or it might read, become perfect in Christ. The word is the Greek word teleos. And I want us to camp a little bit in this study from Scripture on this whole concept of what this word means, teleos. It means perfect, it means complete, it means mature. It means complete in all the parts. It means full grown, coming to full age. It means that there is a full maturity of life that God intended to create. So depending on how this term is used in different New Testament passages, it has more of the idea of perfection. And in some instances, it has more of the idea of completeness. But as it relates to us as Christ followers, it has to do with full maturity. Growing up into that full, mature person that Jesus intends for every one of us to become, and Jesus intends his church to become. So Paul said, this is what I do. Man, I preach Jesus. And I teach people about Jesus. And I admonish one-on-one with people about Jesus. Because what I want to see happen for every person is for every person to become mature in Jesus. That's what God wants to see happen. God wants people who are fully mature in Jesus, and he wants churches to be filled with people who are fully mature in Jesus, so he could say about that church, it's mature in Jesus. Turn your Bible over to Ephesians chapter 4. The context here is a little more about the church, the body of Christ. We, not just as individuals, but we collectively. So here in Ephesians 4, starting at verse 11, it says this, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. This is a great passage. This is opening our eyes to the importance of the church, the body of Christ, and how we as individuals connect and fit into the church, the body of Christ. So what God says in this passage is that what God has done is he's given gifted people to the church. So every believer has a spiritual gift, right? And when we function out of our gifts, we're functioning as a gifted person. And so what Paul says here is that among those different gifts of which everybody is to function and then they become a gifted person, there are certain gifts that have as an intention to equip other people, to coach up other people, to build up other people. So he mentions what they are here. They're the spiritual gifts of apostleship and prophecy and evangelism and pastoring and teaching. So God's given to the church people with these gifts, and these people equip everybody else so that everybody, all of us, me, we, us, can do the works of service. So God's design is not what ends up happening a lot of times in churches where, you know, you've probably heard this, you've read this. I have in many, many books that there's about 20% of the people who do all the work in any given local church. And about 80% of the people who kind of sit in the stands and sometimes cheer them on and sometimes gossip about them and sometimes just, you know, show up and leave. That's not God's intentionality. God's intentionality is that every person does the work of service so that us grow up and be who we're supposed to be. Now, Paul, in the way he writes this, it's kind of a long, grammatically incorrect sentence. But you get the idea, because he's building things up to a crescendo. God's done this so that this will happen, 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 so that this will happen. And what's the final this will happen? That we are a mature person. If you thought about the church as a person, that we are mature. And how is that maturity measured? It's measured by the fullness of Christ. So the goal is Christ. He's the perfectly mature one that we both as individuals are to be moving into and growing into. But here he's talking about us collectively as a whole church, that so that these different aspects of moving into maturity have the idea that we there's a unity in our faith. There's a knowledge of the Son of God. We're being built up so that we're mature. And the we is the us. God wants you to be mature, and he wants us to be mature. God wants me to be mature, and he wants us to be mature. And if you think about it, it just makes sense. Because if you were, you know, a church evaluator, and you were looking at a church, you would evaluate the maturity of that church based upon the maturity of the people in it. Because that's what the church is. Church isn't this building, it's us, it's the people. So a mature church is a church where the people are mature. See, that's why it's me, we, us. This passage is kind of giving us a blueprint for how God wants our personal maturity to be experienced in the context of a growing, mature church body. And they're inseparably connected, by the way. God, there's no pattern in the New Testament where I just kind of live my Christian life off on my own, like a lone ranger. No, I'm always living it out and experiencing it in the context of me, we, us. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. I'm just laying some groundwork here, and then we're going to try to make some overarching observations and then what our commitment is. So, Hebrews chapter 5. Starting at verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So here's the writer of the Hebrews writing to his audience, a Jewish church. That's why it's the letter of the Hebrews, so it's written to Jewish believers and making a lot of connections of Judaism to now their new faith in their Jewish Messiah, Jesus. And what he says is, by this time, and we don't know how long that time was, but by this time, in your maturing process, you should be teachers. You should be people who are sharing with others what God is doing and explaining to others the mysteries of God and teaching others the scriptures. But you actually need to be taught all over again, because you're still just eating and drinking the milk stuff and you haven't moved on to the meat stuff. And what he says is that the milk of the word, it has its proper application to someone who's really a baby. I mean, milk is good for babies. But he says that you should have grown out of your babyhood stage and you should be mature. And then he says, because mature people can take both milk and meat and put it into application, and therefore they have spiritual discernment between good and evil because they're applying what they're learning. And so this is really a rebuke that you're still only able to drink milk. So again, if, you know, we understand babies and it's okay to eat baby food when you're a baby. I have two grandchildren, one's three and the other one's one. And my little grandson, Hudson, when we watch him, I put his little high chair there, I put him down. And I, you know, first I start with a banana because he loves bananas. I put the banana down there. He grabs the whole banana with one hand and squishes it. This kid can eat, but it's still baby food. And so that's totally the way it should be. Now his dad, my son Taylor, he's 33. If Taylor brought Hudson over and I put a high chair there and I put Hudson in the high chair and I gave him a little banana, that'd be fine. But if I put another high chair there and I put Taylor in it and I gave him a banana and he went, it'd be like, there's something wrong with this picture. He's a baby and you're not. See, God looks at us as followers of Jesus, and to some he says, you're a baby. But to others he says, you're not. And you shouldn't be acting like it. And you shouldn't be only eating baby food. You should take what you receive, put it into practice, and become mature. That's because that's the only way it happens. You take what you receive, you put it into practice, and then you become mature. So if you're brand new as a follower of Jesus, if you've not yet become a follower of Jesus, you're receiving the milk, which is life-giving milk. But if you have come to know Jesus, God expects you to grow up into maturity. Let me give you one more scripture. Matthew chapter 28. This is the Great Commission, the final words of Jesus charging his followers who he has discipled, right? So you got to put it in a context. For 3 years, he's discipled them, trained them, equipped them, and now he's sending them out. And because this has been written down for us in scripture, it's God's word to every generation of believers, every church in every generation, every follower of Jesus in every generation, that these are our marching orders. And Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So the imperative here, the command is to go make disciples. There are three participles, that is words, action words that modify and describe how the main command is to happen. What's the main command? Make disciples. How is this main command to be fulfilled? As you are going, as you are baptizing, as you are teaching. Now I want to just look at that a little bit. What does it say about this disciple-making process with respect to the teaching component? It says teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. This past week, I had a great opportunity. I was invited to speak at a missions conference. It was their final meeting. It was a banquet, and I was the keynote speaker. And every one of the missionaries who were there were called to a mission to share the gospel with Jewish people. So it was Jewish evangelism. And every one of those people there were missionaries who were involved in that task. And I spoke on this passage. And I opened my message and I said, you know, The Princess Bride is, you know, one of my favorite movies. How many of you have seen it? And they all kind of raised their hand. They saw The Princess Bride. And I said, you know that scene in The Princess Bride where there's the wedding? And they said it before I even said it. Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together. And then I looked around at every one of these missionaries and I said, the Great Commission. The Great Commission is what brings us together. Because God has given the Great Commission to all of us. And what he says here is teach them to observe all that I've commanded. So it's teaching obedience. So in God's big commission, there is this process of disciple making that involves teaching them to observe all that I have commanded. If you're one of the disciples being made, that means the process of maturity is learning to obey all that Jesus commanded. And then as a part of that learning to obey all that Jesus has commanded, you start obeying this command. And so you are learning all that Jesus commanded. You're learning to obey it, and you're also teaching other people how to obey it. You see what I mean? It's a process. This discipleship process, this maturity process. And it's a process where we receive, we put into practice, and we give away. We receive, we put into practice, and we give away. We receive, we put into practice, and we give away. That is God's intention for every believer and every church. So I come back to the me, we, us statement value. God's will is that every believer in Jesus grows to full maturity in Jesus. God's plan is to use his church, the body of Christ, to be the place where people grow to full maturity in Jesus. So today, I may not even know you. You may be a first-time guest, or you may be someone that I haven't had the opportunity to meet. But God's will for you is to grow to full maturity in Jesus. And us, we, this is the church. We're the church. We're Crossline Church. God's will for us is that we grow to full maturity in Jesus. So this is who we are. We are a people who are going to connect people to Jesus and his church so that we can all grow to full maturity in Jesus. So now let's start looking at this in terms of some bigger observations. We've seen that we've laid the scriptural foundation. Maturity in Christ is God's goal for every believer. Maturity in Christ is God's goal. We've seen that in several scripture. I want to show you one more where we see it again personalized with the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3. Paul says this, not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect. There's that word, teleos, mature. But I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward that goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So here's the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian who ever lived, and he said, not that I have obtained it already. So Paul himself said, I'm not yet fully mature. The interesting thing about that is he's going to say in a few more verses, if this is difficult for some of you, those who are mature follow their pattern. Well, wait a minute. I thought you said that you haven't even reached this. So how is it that we can follow the pattern of some people who have reached it? It's kind of like a paradox. But in effect, what Paul is saying is there is this goal of full maturity, which is becoming just like Jesus. And none of us have actually reached that goal yet. The Christian life, the discipleship process is continually, as Paul said, striving towards it, forgetting what's behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead. And then he uses a runner's example, straining towards the tape. You know, if you watch a track meet, sometimes it comes down like in the 100 meters where they all look pretty close, but there's just one guy that's kind of strained out, and it's just his body length that wins the race. That's the word that Paul uses to talk about how he's straining towards the goal. What's the goal? Maturity in Christ. So here, get this, because you got to listen to this. On the one hand, none of us are fully mature yet, but God looks at the person who's racing towards the goal, and the fact that they're racing towards that goal of maturity, you're a mature person. So on the one hand, I could say I'm not mature yet, but on the other hand, I could say I am mature if my life is straining towards the goal of becoming more and more like Jesus. Because that's God's goal for every believer, to become fully mature in Jesus. In fact, listen to this scripture. In fact, you can turn over to it, James chapter 1. James 1 says this, consider all joy, my brethren, this is verse 2, James 1, 2, when you encounter various trials. Now just stop there. Consider all joy when you encounter various trials. I mean, I don't know how you do that. It has to be supernatural. It has to be energized by the Holy Spirit. It has to be the result of really understanding who God is and what God is doing in your life. It's something a mature person can embrace. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect, teleos, mature result, so that you may be perfect, teleos, mature, complete, lacking in nothing. This passage says, the mature person is the one who, because they are mature, they understand that part of this discipleship challenge, this life challenge, is the testing of our faith that God actually oversees. And the result of that is increasing maturity. So since you know that, let that process happen in your life so that you who are the mature person become even more mature. It's the goal. God wants us to grow up. He wants us to mature. He wants us to become more and more like Jesus. So what does that look like? What does that mean? What does maturity in Christ actually look like? Well, we've been kind of looking at it from these different vantage points. If there was a circle up here and this is what maturity means, it's like we've been walking around the edge looking at it. From the verses that we've seen already, it means that we're equipped for works of service in Ephesians chapter 4. We are equipped to be servants of Jesus. It means that we experience unity in the faith, Ephesians 4, that we're not always sideways with one another. We actually realize, hey, we're on the same page. We're on the same team. It means that we are increasing in our knowledge of the Son of God. We're getting to know Jesus better. This is all out of Ephesians 4. We're growing into Christ's likeness. That's Ephesians 4. It means that we're teachers of others. That's Hebrews 4, because he says that by this time you should be teaching others. So part of that maturing process of becoming mature means we take what we receive and we share it with others. We give it away to others. We pass it on. We're practicing the word. That's also from Hebrews 4, because it says those who are mature have their senses trained by practice. We're trained to discern good and evil. We've got some spiritual discernment so we don't just fall for every new fad that comes up in the Christian world or every new false spirituality that someone wants to present to us. We've got that little detector inside of us that goes, something's not right here. That's a fruit of being mature because we've been practicing the word. So we can discern between good and evil. And it means that we're learning to observe all that Jesus commanded. That's Matthew chapter 28. Learning to observe all that Jesus commanded. Well, that means we gotta know what Jesus commanded. One of the things, and I think I've shared this with you before, I'm doing it right now again, I've done it before, is I'm going through the Gospels as part of my own just personal Bible reading, my quiet time, and I'm reading the red. You know, that's the stuff that where Jesus spoke. And I'm just writing down all the commands of Jesus. Because if I'm supposed to obey all the commands of Jesus, I need to know what Jesus commanded. So I've gone through Mark, I'm in John right now, and then I'm going to go to Matthew, and then I'm going to Luke. And I've done this before, but you come up with a great study on what did Jesus actually teach? Because part of the Great Commission, becoming that fully formed disciple, is that we teach people to observe all that Jesus commanded, and as the disciple who's on the receiving end of that, I'm learning to obey all that Jesus commanded. Here's another characteristic of the mature person. It's living out of that resurrection knowledge of Jesus. That's Paul in Philippians 3. That's when he says, I'm straining towards the tape. I'm forgetting what lies behind. I'm reaching forward towards the goal. I'm pressing on right now. And it's all related to that resurrection knowledge of Jesus. Because he says, whatever's gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Not that I obtained it already. Not that I'm perfect, but I press on to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Paul wanted to have a resurrection knowledge of Jesus. And so he pressed on towards that. The mature person is the person who's pressing on towards that resurrection knowledge of Jesus. See, it's like there's this circle. Maturity is there. We're looking at it and we see, well, this, it means a lot of things. I guess the easiest thing to say, it means becoming like Jesus in every way. Becoming like Jesus in every way. That's what God's will is for your life and my life and for our life as a church. Here's a third kind of macro observation. Maturity is produced by God in the context of the church through the faith choices of the believer. It's produced by God in the context of the church through the faith choices of the believer. So God's the one who produces the growth. God's the one who causes change. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is kind of responding back to some of the sideways thinking that the Corinthian church had, and they were bringing up this guy, Apollos, who was a great Bible teacher, and kind of comparing Paul with the great Bible teacher, and Apollos, and Paul says, you know, who's Apollos, who am I? We just plant seeds and water the seeds. It's God who causes the growth. Any transformation in your life, it's God who caused it. Any transformation in my life, it's God who caused it. Any transformation in this church, it's God who caused it. God causes the growth. And so what God does is he works in the inside, and then it gets expressed on the outside. That's 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, where it says, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, and we all with unveiled faces are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even by the Lord, the Spirit. See, that transformation, that word is metamorpho, and it means a metamorphosis. There's a spiritual metamorphosis that God creates. He changes us on the inside, and that change begins to get expressed on the outside. So more and more truth and grace are going on inside of us, so more and more truth and grace come out of our mouths. And more truth and grace comes out in our actions. Because God is changing us on the inside by his truth and grace. So God is the one who changes us, but he does it, and I think for some reason this seems like it's obvious, but it hasn't always been obvious to me. We were talking about that in our sermon collab a little bit. God does it in the context of the church. That's God's best design. Now, sometimes, because of the grace of God, he works within us, even when we're not plugged in and connected and vitally a part of a church. But that's not the norm or the best plan of God. Don't mistake what God does out of his grace for what his actual pattern is for your life. The pattern of the Bible is our spiritual transformation and growth to maturity happens collectively in our connection with one another. It's like if you were a rock hound and you were out at some place where there was a lot of, you know, interesting kind of rocks that you could pick up, you probably could find, if you searched, a smooth stone that became smooth just over time and the elements, and somehow it just happened. But you know what you could do? You could take some crusty old rocks and put them in one of those rock polishers. And then you kind of pour in this liquid solvent cleaner. And then you turn it on. You ever seen one of these? And then what does it do? It shakes. And all the rocks in there shake. And they start bumping up against each other. And then whatever that stuff is that you poured in there, it does what it does. And it kind of refines those rough edges and it cleans away those rocks. And that rock polisher is shaken. And then in actually a short amount of time, you could turn that off and pull out of that rock polisher some really smooth stones. You see, the rock polisher is the church, the body of Christ. And God has designed that when we come into a relationship with Christ, we get united with Christ. And the Bible also says we actually get united to his body. It's part of being in Christ. Being in Christ is an identification with Christ, but also an identification with every other believer who's identified with Christ. That's the church. And God's ideal plan is through the context of the church, as we worship together as a church, as we receive God's word together as a church, as we disciple one another as a church, as we do life together as a church, we, like that rock polisher, help each other become, even as 1 Peter chapter 2 says, living stones that glorify Jesus, because we help each other become mature in Christ. That's God's plan. So God produces the growth in the context of the church, and he does it through the believer's obedient faith choices. So we do have a part to play in our own maturity. We do have a part to play in the maturity of us as a body. Philippians 2 says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work within you to will and to work for his good pleasure. I love that passage because it tells us God's part and it tells us our part. God is at work within us to will and to work for his good pleasure. So God is at work within us, but what are we supposed to do? We're to be working out what God works in. We work out what God works in. Right up here, right off of Lake Forest Drive, there's a Shell station, and there's a car wash in that Shell station. I've taken my car there and had it washed. It's whatever inside one of those car washes is what washes my car, you know. I mean, it squirts water, it squirts soap, it has those big rollers, it hits the sides, and on the way out, you know, the blower comes on and it dries it off. But I have to have the intentionality to drive my car into it. And I have to drive up to it, and I have to put the money in and push the buttons so that what the car wash is designed to do, it actually is able to do. But it couldn't do what it was designed to do if I didn't do what I'm supposed to do to get my car there. Am I making this clear to you? God, in the context of us, grows us up to maturity. But we have to choose to connect with him and connect with one another so that God can do what he wants to do in our lives, which is grow us up to become mature. So we've laid out a biblical theology here of spiritual maturity, of what God wants to do. So me, we, us, we will, number one, seek to engage and connect everyone wherever they are in their spiritual journey. We will seek to engage everyone in their spiritual journey. When I was in college, I my sophomore year, I went to a Campus Crusade for Christ meeting because I'd started really growing in my faith, and I wanted to meet other believers who were growing in their faith. So I went to this gathering, and it was like, for me, it was like the first time I'd been around really life-giving Christ followers. And they were all my age, and there were these staff members who were mentoring and discipling everybody. So I introduced myself to the director and said, I'd love to get together. And so that week on campus, we got together, and I just said, you know, I really want to grow my faith, and I'd like to become a part of this ministry. I said, that's great. He took out his notepad and put it down between us, and he said, well, let me tell you how you could get involved. And then he wrote this, a box that was kind of took up the whole of the page, and he said, we have weekly meetings and we have outreach events. You're welcome to come. Anybody can come to those. So if you want to just get involved at that level, that's good. Then on top of it, he drew a smaller box and he wrote Bible studies. We have small group Bible studies here. And if you want to be part of our Bible studies, just come to our weekly events and then connect once a week and be involved in a Bible study. And then on top of that box, he drew a smaller box, and it was like forming this pyramid, right? And he drew a smaller box, and he said, we have discipleship groups. And he goes, now the difference between a discipleship group and a Bible study is in a discipleship group, you're learning to be a multiplying disciple. You're learning how to receive what God gives you, but also give it away. So if you want to be in one of our discipleship groups, you come to our weekly meeting, you're in a Bible study, then you meet with your Bible study leader, and you go out witnessing and sharing Christ and telling other people about Jesus. And then he wrote, at the very top was a small box, and this was the, it was called the Master Discipleship Group. This is where we have the leaders of the student movement meet. And to be in that, you have to be, you know, coming to our weekly meeting and being in a Bible study and going out sharing Christ with the person who's discipling you. And then you also disciple other people and lead a Bible study and take other people out in this evangelism process. And he goes, this is what this ministry is all about. And then he had a pen and he turned it around so I could look at it. And then he just put the pen right in front of me and he goes, tell me where you'd like to get involved. See, there was a place where everybody and wherever they were in their spiritual journey could connect. But we want to be a church like that. Wherever you are, if you're here, you don't yet know Jesus. We're so glad you're here. This is a place where you can come. It's a safe place to hear a life-changing message. If you're wanting to be unleashed as a servant leader, changing people's lives and multiplying your lives into other people and living out your faith and discipling other people to live out your faith, there's a place for you here in our church. We want to engage people and connect people wherever they are in their spiritual journey to Jesus first and to the church. Here's the second thing. We will own our own journey and take responsibility for our own maturity. We're going to own our own journey and take responsibility for our maturity. I want you all to help me mature in Christ. Help me help you. I want you to help me mature in Christ. But you know what? I'm not going to sit around and wait for you to do something to help me mature in Christ. I'm going to own my own relationship with Jesus. And I want you to do the same thing. So take responsibility. Look in the mirror and say, you're the person who has to decide whether or not you're going to grow spiritually. We own our own journey. So, you know, it's like working out. You can buy the gym membership. You can actually show up at the gym. But if you want to get in physical shape, you got to work out. You've shown up to the gym. You're here. But you got to work out. Here's the third thing. We will encourage one another to abide in Christ and grow into maturity. We're going to encourage each other. I say, I'm going to take responsibility for my own journey, but I want to encourage you and I want you to encourage me. Hebrews 10 talks about stimulating one another to love and good deeds. So we're not private Christians who kind of connect on some kind of regular basis. No, we're vested into each other's lives. I pray for you. I want you to pray for me. I want to speak words of encouragement to you. I want you to speak words of encouragement to me. I want to be there when you need someone to bear your burdens, and I want you to be there when I need someone to bear my burdens. See, we encourage each other. That's what we're going to do. We're going to encourage each other to abide in Christ and grow to maturity. And then here's the last thing. We're going to provide a discipleship pathway for everyone to become mature in Christ. A discipleship pathway. Get in, get healthy, get strong, get going. Get in, get healthy, get strong, get going. Get in, get healthy, get strong, get going. It's a discipleship pathway that we have here at Crossline. And everything that we do as a church, every Bible study, every training class, every worship service, every outreach event, every retreat, every mission trip is prayerfully thought through to be something that will either help us get in, help us get healthy, help us get strong, or help us get going. Because we have a discipleship pathway to help every person who's owning their own journey to grow to maturity in Christ. We want to be a church that has a pathway that actually helps them grow into Christ. So here at Crossline, if I was sitting down with you over a table and I was drawing out who we are and what we do. So here at Crossline, I draw a big box. You can come and attend any of our worship services or any of our outreach events at your convenience. And then a little box on top of that. You can choose to become a follower of Jesus and take our Belong class, we're offering one next week, and become a serving member here at Crossline as part of your journey into maturity with Christ. And then on top of that, you could choose to follow Christ and join a small group and take our Get Healthy classes and engage in a pathway of discipleship here. And then there's a little box up there. You can choose to follow Christ, take Get Strong, and become a servant leader in the context of the body of Christ here at Crossline. And if I was sitting down with you and I mapped that out, you know what I'd do right now? I'd take the pencil, I'd put it in front of you, and say, where do you want to commit yourself? Where do you want to connect? Where do you want to connect? If you have not yet become a follower of Jesus Christ, you are welcome to come to our outreaches, our services. We love it that you're here. But if you want to become a follower of Jesus Christ, open up your heart to Jesus. Do it today. Receive Christ into your life. Connect with Jesus. And connect with this church. Next week, take Belong. And become part of a body of people that will encourage you in your journey with Christ. If you're a member of our church, get into a small group. Take Get Healthy. If you're in a small group, you're taking Get Healthy, take the step, move on, take Get Strong, become a servant leader here at Crossline. See, we want to be a church where we encourage people to own our own journey with Christ, but we provide a pathway of discipleship that helps people become mature in Christ, because God's will for his church and God's will for each of us is that we grow to maturity in Christ. Let me pray. Father, I pray that you would speak to each of us and point us to Jesus. because you're the only one who can transform our lives, change us on the inside so we become changed on the outside. We want to grow into you, Jesus. We want to become more and more mature. We want to forget what lies behind. We want to reach forward to what lies ahead. We want to strain and stretch towards the goal of the upward call of God in Christ. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.